Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Love begets love. The love that God has for us produces love in us. As the Bible makes clear, we love because He loved us first. The Heavenly Father has revealed His love for you by sending His Son to die in your place. And the Son, Jesus, has proven His love for you by laying down His life for you. And the Spirit, ever since that first Pentecost, has been showing His love for sinners by pointing hearts to Jesus and by pouring out His love into our hearts. For you have not only come to believe the love that God has for you in Jesus, but His love for you is what inspires you to love God and others. On that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with supernatural signs. But beyond the loud rushing wind and the flames of fire above the apostles' heads, the Spirit gave Peter and the other 11 great boldness to proclaim Jesus' victory over death and the grave. The Spirit also gave the apostles this supernatural ability to speak in languages that were previously unknown to them, so that they could proclaim the good news to those visiting Jerusalem and in their own native tongue. The result of that was that the Spirit miraculously brought 3,000 souls to faith and into the church in but one day. These days, the Holy Spirit has chosen to call people to faith and to convert their hearts to Jesus in less showy ways. Yet the result is the same. Jesus comes to us in His Word, and it is through His Word that His Spirit convinces sinners of the love that God has for them in Christ Jesus. And so we are converted through the same apostolic witness that the Spirit used on that day of Pentecost and throughout the book of Acts. My friends in Christ, love is the fruit of the Spirit. It is evidence of the redemptive love of Jesus that lives in you by faith. Your ability to love both God and others only happens in response to God's great and undeserved love for you, the sinner, in Christ. Again, we love because He first loved us. Peter, who preached on that first Pentecost, would later pen these words of Scripture as a way of explaining the believer's relationship with Jesus, saying, "Though you have not seen Him," that is Jesus, "you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, still you believe in Him." Here the apostle uses "whoever loves Jesus" as a parallel expression for whoever believes in Jesus. For to truly believe in Jesus as your Savior spontaneously results in your also loving Him. But how do you know if you are part of this group that lives by faith and thus loves Jesus? How does a person know whether he loves Jesus? In today's gospel, Jesus tells us, saying, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." You see, love is more than saying that you like the guy, Jesus, and then going back to living the way you want and the way you were before. It's really very simple. To truly love him, Jesus says, means that you keep his word. The evidence that you love Jesus is that his word has such an important priority and place in your heart. His word is the Bible, but what does it mean to keep his word? The Greek word translated here as keep can be translated into English in many ways. Keep here can mean to guard, obey, observe, or pay attention to his word. The idea here is that those who truly love Jesus will also cherish his word. That is, they will treasure what Jesus has to say to them and teach them in his words. So the question before you is, do you treasure what Jesus has said? Or are you apathetic towards Scripture and unenthusiastic about it, with no desire to study the Word or to hear what it has to say? Do you value above all else what Jesus has said and speaks to you through his Word, or are you annoyed when the Word calls attention to your sins, when it contradicts your own fleshly desires, and when it demands that you, the sinner, must change? My friends, there is no such thing as a Christian who does not like and read the Bible, who lacks the desire to listen to Jesus. Just imagine if you had a spouse or a significant other who told you they loved you, but they never talked to you, they never listened to you, and really they had no desire to spend any time with you. Would that person love you? I think not. So what churchgoer can claim to love God, though he or she never talks to God in prayer, never listens to God by hearing or reading the Bible, and who has no desire to make time for such things either on a weekly or daily basis? Such a person can hardly claim to love Jesus if he or she is, truth be told, terminally bored with Jesus, tired of hearing his word. Now, certainly, since all of us are sinners, none of us loves God as we ought. Far too often, because of sin, we are very imperfect in our love for Jesus. We are often more fearful than we are faithful. For if we had perfect love for God, that perfect love would cast out all of our fear. Likewise, we are often lukewarm in our desire to study or to hear or to meditate on the words and teachings of Jesus. Our desire for his word is often more like a small ember or flicker of flame than the roaring hot fire that it should be. As sinners, it's surprising how often the world can distract us from the so much more important hearing of the word that is all about Jesus. Will we ever learn that we cannot serve two masters? The sinful reality of it all is that our love for the world greatly diminishes our love for his word. And over time, if this persists, choosing the world over his word can completely kill your love for Jesus and his word in you. So how can a person, either secretly or openly, who despises God's word, convince himself that he loves Jesus? It's not possible. For if you distance yourself from the word whenever it is preached, if you dismiss every invitation to study his word when it is offered, aren't you despising the Word, along with those whom Jesus has sent you to teach you that Word. How could anyone say that they love Jesus and then disregard His Word in their lives so intentionally? No one should say they love Jesus with their lips, who is at the same time habitually unwilling to take the opportunity to hear the Word with their ears. When we talk about loving Jesus and His Word, please understand this, that we're not talking about loving the Lord or His Word by our own power or strength, as is required in the first commandment. For under the demands of God's law, you and I are indeed powerless to love God in the way that God deserves to be loved. You must come to understand that you cannot generate any love for Jesus or any love for His Word on your own. Instead, the Spirit that first appeared on Pentecost gifts the Christian, providing you with grace-generated and gospel-motivated love for Jesus and for His Word that only comes from the Spirit working in your hearts by faith. Just as we read in Romans, it is God's love that has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And thus we see once again how Jesus' love is what begets our love for Him. So what happens if you assess your spiritual condition and you know inwardly that you have no such love in your heart for Jesus or for His Word? What do you do if your love for His Word has grown cold and your faith complacent? Whether you are a person with a weak desire or with no desire to hear His Word or to hold it sacred in your heart, either way, you should repent. Just as I repent whenever my love for Jesus and for His Word grows cold. In such case, you and I must mourn the weakness of our flesh. We must be sorrowful about our spiritual apathy. However, that being said, you should not look for the solution for your lovelessness towards Jesus and His Word within yourself. It is a grave mistake to think that you can solve this problem by simply trying harder. This is well beyond the reach of your own human willpower. Rather, return to the Lord your God humbly as an empty vessel, ready to receive again the love of Jesus, remembering which way that love flows. For as the Apostle John reminds us, friends, this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We won't find the power to love by thinking that our love for God will somehow restore His love for us. But it is always His love for us that begets our love for Him. For while you and I were still enemies of God, when we had no love for God, His Son Jesus loved us first and best. And Jesus' most loving act of allowing Himself to be nailed to a cross is how Jesus propitiated God. That is how He appeased God's anger towards sinners forever, so that only God's love for the sinner remains. For whoever trusts in the crucifixion of Jesus as that all-time defining act of God's love has it. To the extent of God's amazing love for sinners on the day of Pentecost, to see that the Holy Spirit gave Peter the opportunity to confront those who hated Jesus the most and had him crucified. Peter's warning to them is pretty chilling as he informs them that when they had Jesus executed out of hatred for him, unknowingly they killed the Lord of glory. Terrified by what they heard from Peter and what they had done, they felt as if their sins were unforgivably beyond the reach of God's love. Peter, however, very graciously announced that Jesus' substitutionary death even extended to these evil men who had been loveless haters of Jesus and despisers of his word. Peter invited them to immediately receive the forgiveness that Jesus had accomplished on the cross for them, along with his Holy Spirit, simply by being baptized in the name of Jesus. Baptism was how they were to receive God's love, just as it is for us. It was also how God's Spirit poured out the love of Christ upon them, as it is for us. And so we see the magnitude of God's love as he embraces even those most vile sinners who, at least to us, seem the least deserving of Jesus' love. Overwhelmed with Jesus' love, even these harshest enemies were added to the church that day. And the result is they began to love God. Those who had so shortly before hated Jesus, who had despised his word, Peter, in the name of Christ, pardons on Pentecost. These one-time haters of Jesus, we read in the end of the second chapter of Acts, devoted themselves now to the apostles' teaching. Or, to paraphrase, they fell in love with Jesus along with his word. So my friends, if you sense yourself becoming indifferent to Jesus and apathetic to his word, I encourage you, join us for Bible class. Hear the gospel and fall in love with Jesus all over again. For as you hear about God's amazing love for you in Christ, it will renew your love for Jesus, and it will show itself by a newfound interest and love for his words. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes our puny and limited understanding guard and guide your hearts by faith. Amen.